I'm going to read from the King James, and then I'll may read from the New Living Translation in the Message. But to start, Romans 12:2, and it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye," that's talking to us, "be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, that word prove means to test something. That means to examine it. That, you know, even in the dictionary, it says to test the truth or validity or genuineness of something. So that means we're testing the Word of God, not testing it to see if it comes to pass, but we're working the Word. That's another way of saying that, right? And this renewing, this transformation that happens in us, that, and you know, we've shared before, that word transformation, that word comes from the Greek word, well, we could say it in English, metamorphosis. That means something is changed into another being. And actually that word, that Greek word, is used only one other time in the New Testament. It's in the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus was changed into another form. That's the only other place it's used, metamorpho-u. That Greek word is used in those two places. So what is that saying? That's saying that by the renewing of my mind, I'm changed into another person. I'm literally changed into another being, another person. And I'm going to touch on something. You might say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you hold steady. Keep your heart and mind open, and we'll show some things that God's doing in the earth. Yep. That shows us that if we feed upon the Word of God and let that come into us, we're changed. Our thinking is changed. So transformation or change comes by the renewing of our minds. And so how many, I guess, this is kind of a loaded question here, but how many want to have change in their thinking? I do. You know, all of us say, well, I'm doing all right, but let me ask this question. If you're doing all right, then are every one of your thoughts Christ-like? No. So that means there's change to be made, right? That means that we can change more. I mean, if you're 99% there, there's still that 1%, right? That needs to be corrected and changed. So we can be Christ-like in our thinking, or the scripture says we have the mind of Christ, but we may not exhibit that, right? So there's room for growth. So knowing the perfect will of God is connected to our minds being renewed. So in order to know the perfect will of God, we've got to know His thoughts, right? I know this sounds simple, but just hold steady here. The New Living Translation, I like this. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." So when it says let God, we have a part to play. It's not just all God. We've got to let Him change our thinking. We've got to allow Him to work in our lives. And then it says, "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So we have to let God, or allow Him and His words, change our thinking. And He will. We know Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not," what? "Depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate on it day and night, that thou shalt mayest observe to do." That's like proving what we said before, that you may prove, right? You can see here where the scriptures support one another. And it says, "Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and you'll have good success." So he desires us to think upon his word. What is Proverbs 4:20? It says, "My son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them" what? Not depart out of thy what?
Mouth.
Out of thy mouth, and keep them within thy heart. And it says when you do, then it says you'll have some success. It says you'll find life and have health. God's word translation, it's in Romans 12:2, it says, "Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect." I like the message, you know, we've heard this so many times. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. This is what I was focused on. Instead, fix your attention on God. That means you've got to pay attention. You've got to let him come in and do some adjusting. It says you'll be changed from the inside out. I like that. And the Passion says you'll be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. So we've touched on this before. When it says don't be conformed, every one of us, we got a job, even if you're retired, whatever, you're in school. The world is trying to get you to think like them.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Why would the scripture say be not conformed? Because we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to do what? Think different, because we are different. And so we're not to conform to the customs and opinions and attitudes of the world. We're supposed to embrace and think like God. And the only way we're going to do that is that we're going to have to meditate on his thoughts and his opinions and his, what I call attitudes. We got to think on God's thoughts. And that will change our thinking. So we'll know what is good and pleasing to God. What's right. You know, when you think about this country, what do they always say? It's a Judeo-Christian society. Well, it's changed a little bit. But its origins came from that. Where did that come from? The Bible. Because even in the Old Testament, it began to lay out what's right and what's wrong. So those influences came into this country. And so even in society, the attitudes, we're talking back a ways now, where those attitudes were influenced by God's thoughts. And so society has gotten away from that. We need to rise up. There needs to be something different. There needs to be a people in the land that think like God, talk like God, act like God, that influence this earth. So they can do what? See God. See God in us and how he thinks and how he feels about things. So sometimes, here's one of the things that, you know, we've heard, I don't know if it's prevalent, but a lot of times Christians will compare themselves with someone else. And they'll say, "I could never walk like that. I couldn't measure up to that." Yes, you can. Every one of you can. And don't compare yourself to somebody else and say, "Well, they're so super spiritual. I could never be that way. I could never operate that way." Yes, you can. God's saying right here that you can be what? Transformed. Every one of us can be transformed into another person by how? The renewing of your mind. I'm going to jump ahead here and just share this because it was in my heart to do this today here. When we talk about transformation, this word really, in some of the other translations, it's really the word for transfiguration. And so what the scripture's really saying is that you could experience transfiguration. And you go, really? Well, here's a little true story. I've shared this before. Some of you may hear this for the first time, but this happened back around in the 1930s. To be exact, it was around 1936 in Rwanda. It's in Africa. And this was called the Shining Light Movement. It was either called the Shining Light Movement in Rwanda or the East African Revival. That's another term that was used, the East African Revival. And it happened in a little chapel in northern Rwanda. And I'm just going to read an excerpt here from this person that actually met one of the founders of that group. He said, typically in Africa, it was common to live maybe into your 60s. He said, these people were living into their hundreds, well over 100. He said, the life of God was so strong in them that they still were shining. That's why they called it the Shining Ones. And it says here, because the people literally glowed with the presence of God. It says, everyone that was involved in that movement felt a tremendous conviction of the Holy Spirit. And what happened is that every day people were coming to the altar because they felt uncomfortable with sin. It's a very interesting thing. They felt uncomfortable with sin. And it says, and what happened over a course of time is that the people began to shine. They literally began to radiate the glory of God like unto the transfiguration. This happened. And everybody around there was in awe of this movement. And this movement literally spread from this little chapel all the way through East Central Africa. And then the person that was, he's a Rhema graduate. His name is David Martin. He's been on the Sid Roth show a few times to share all of this. David Martin met one of the founders of the Shining One movement. He met him. God led him to go over there, and he ended up meeting him. And he said, this individual that he met, he said it was interesting, his name was Enoch. And he said that this individual, because his name was Enoch, said it wasn't about the transfiguration. It wasn't about the shining. This was one of the founders. This is what the founder said. It was the holiness that caused the people to shine. They felt uncomfortable with sin. How did this happen? It happened because they got renewed in their thinking. It's interesting, isn't it? And I believe that's going to happen again. Hallelujah. So we are different. Yes. We have this glory in earthen vessels. Amen. We're not like the world. We've been changed. Amen. So let me get back where I was. So we're not to be like the world, and we all can change. Amen. But the key we're focusing on here is that your thoughts have to change. And we've touched on this before, that a thought is not nothing. We all have thoughts. Jesus said this. He said, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effect of the wind. You can't see a thought, but you can see the effect of a thought. You can see its effects, and we can see that. People have a thought. You have a thought, I want me a nice big hamburger and ice cream. And you can see the effects of that thought. So that thought was not nothing. You put on a few extra pounds. So a thought is not natural. You can't touch a thought. You can't see a thought. You can't smell a thought. You can't feel it. But you can see the effects of it. So a thought is really spiritual in its origin. And so that's why when we talk about this here, thoughts, are powerful. And when we talk about just thoughts and being transformed, God's word are his thoughts. So the words, you know, what does it say? Holy men of God were inspired to pen the word of God. They were inspired by who? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. So words are really thought carriers. They're containers of our thoughts, our inspirations. That's why it's so key and critical what you watch, what you read, what you listen to, because they carry the thoughts and intents of individuals who were inspired by someone. They were either inspired by God or inspired by the devil. And so when you feed on those thoughts long enough, you begin to take in, you touch something spiritual. And that's what we were talking about in a few lessons ago. That when you touch things that its origin, those thoughts are spiritual. You touch it. So it is key we watch what we read. That's why when this was written, and it said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The word of God has the power in it to change us. It is the power of God. It's breathed with God's power and his thoughts. It's spiritual. And God has made us in his image and likeness. Think about this. God made man in his image and likeness. Did he not? Yes. But before he did, we were a thought. Amen. Same thing. Before he said, light be, he had a thought of that. And we're made in his image and likeness. So it's just something to think about. Think about the scripture, Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were what? Framed by the word of God. And what does it say? So things which are seen were not made from things which do appear. And the same thing in Romans 4:17, God does what? He calls things that what? Be not as though they were. He speaks his thoughts. And that's why it's so powerful. He's made us, you know, you've heard other ministers say, speaking spirits. We've been made in his image and likeness. We can speak what we think. Powerful. And we can be changed by his thoughts, which is what the word says. And this is such a powerful scripture to me. In 1 Corinthians, you can turn over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. But even your thinking, you're here today because of a thought, I'm going to church. Nobody made you come. You thought, I'm getting up. You made plans. You thought, and then you acted on that thought. And so you did that. Why? Because you love God. You love his word. His word is everything to us. His word is life to us, eternal life. But what is 1 Corinthians 1:18? It says, for the preaching of the cross, the word, is to them that perish what? Foolishness. What's foolishness? A thought. It's a thought. But unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. God's word is everything. It is the power of God to us. And that word can change us into another being. Amen. Another person. You may have all kinds of squirrely thinking. It'll change you.
Wow.
We all had squirrely thinking. Some of us still do. What is the scripture? And then 1 Corinthians, and then back chapter 2, it says, but the natural man, chapter 2, verse 14, it says, the natural man does what? He receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. That's why when it says, fix your attention on God, let him come into you. Let his word change you. You've got to let it.
Amen.
Because you could still be a Christian and go, I don't believe that. It had no effect on you. And you could be saved. See, think about this. Saved and unsaved people both have thoughts about how they think about things where God is concerned and the Word of God.
Amen.
Saved and unsaved. Mama Nim said so. Daddy said so. This is what they said about God. And some of us have embraced some of those things, and we have to be changed in our thinking.
Amen.
Right? So those things can infect us. In that chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 5, it says, your faith should not stand in what? The wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So in other words, your faith should stand in the Word of God.
Amen.
That's where our faith should be. And when we do, it'll change us. It'll change our thinking. Turn over to Psalm 10. Psalm chapter 10. I know this is a lot to think about, but I'll tell you, it's good. It's all good. Because there's such an onslaught. You know, when we hear some of the things going on that are going on in the school systems, they're trying to go after the thoughts and minds of children. And we need to be just as aggressive. Psalm 10, verse 4. It says, the wicked, I'm reading from the King James, the wicked through the pride of his countenance. See, his thinking is prideful. Will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. See? It's foolishness. They don't even have time to think about God. They're busy doing their own thing. No thought of God in their minds. And even in Romans chapter 1, we know God turned them over to a reprobate mind because they didn't want to have God in their thoughts. So here, God's not in their thoughts. See, if God is not in your thoughts, then really you could say you have a godless or a godless influence in your life. God's not influencing you. If you just ain't got time for God in your thoughts, then you don't allow him to influence you. That's what we're talking about. And again, Romans 12:2, what does it say? We have to change the way we think by feeding on the Word of God. Another scripture you're familiar with, Proverbs 23:7, says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
So your heart can be influenced by your thoughts. We know that. Turn over to Psalm 50. Psalm chapter 50. You know, a lot of times people, and just This is how God's word, this is what his word says about how God thinks. I'm going to read this from the King James. It says, "These things thou hast done, and I kept silence." This is God now. "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself." So you think just because God didn't say anything, you think he thinks like you. Wrong. He says, "But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes." What does God say in Isaiah? He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways." It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than yours." So here's my question. Are you hungry, not just desirous, but hungry to be renewed, to have your minds renewed? I am. I'm hungry to have my mind renewed. And it's takes discipline and effort. And we may miss it here and there, but we need to be hungry. You know, when I think about things, when you desire something, you purpose to do it. You make an effort. You set it on your as they say, your to-do list. I'm doing this. I like this in the Amplified. This is Joshua 1:8 in the Amplified. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely and have good success." I don't know about you, but I want to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Amen. And not just bump around. Amen. Every one of us do. The way we're going to be able to deal wisely is to know how God thinks. And to have his thoughts and his influence in every choice that we make, everything that we do. You know, if you read a little more about this story on the Shining One movement, it says, at that time, they did nothing. Now, it's extreme, because we're not used to operating this way. It said, they did nothing until God directed them to do something. They had that kind of intimate relationship. I don't think we're all there yet. That we just hold steady to do anything unless he directs us. Because we're used to, I'm doing this. I'm making a choice. I'm going. And then God's back here saying, wait a minute. Hello. We're not there yet. We're not used to operating that way. I'm saying in a small way we do when it matters, but everything, he said this group did. Now, you may say, well, that's extreme. Well, they were transfigured. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know you're thinking about this. It's quiet. It makes me think, I'll tell you that. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, "But we all," I'm going to read this from the King James and the Amplified. It says, "But we all with what? Open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same," what? "Image." From what? "Glory to glory, even how? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now listen to this in the Amplified. It says, "And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God," we fixed our attention on the Word of God, "as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured," that's what the Amplified says, "into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." So as we fix our attention on the Word of God, as we meditate on it day and night, we will be transfigured from glory to glory into his image. That's what the Word of God says. Isn't that good? So we have this book of divinely inspired thoughts that we have at our disposal to feed upon. Why don't you turn over to Mark 5? I just want to look at these as we close here. You can see the effects of one's thoughts. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 through 28. As you're turning there, I'm going to read this, Psalm 139, verse 17. It says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me." That's what the King James says. Psalm 139, 17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." His thoughts are precious. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, and this is the woman with the issue of blood. Right? We know the story. She had an issue of blood 12 years. Said she suffered many things and many physicians. Spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Something she heard did what? Changed her thinking. It changed her thinking. And we know it did because in the society she lived, if she went out of her house in the condition she was in, they had a right to kill her and stone her. So she had to be convinced. Something changed her thinking. So much so that she got up and went out and did what? She said what? She heard of Jesus. She heard something. Came in the press behind and touched his garment and said, "If I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." And we know the story, she was. But the point is, something changed her thinking. What was it? The Word of God. The Word of God changed her, convinced her. And as you continue down or back up in that story, you know, back up to verse 22, before that happened, we see that Jairus came, a ruler of the synagogue. He came to Jesus. And what did he say? He says, "My daughter lieth at the point of death." And then the woman with the issue of blood came. And then after that, Jesus continued on, right? And then as he's there, what happened? One of the people in the synagogue said, "You know, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead." And what did Jesus do? He spoke the word. He said, "Be not afraid." What? Only believe. He wanted him to do what? Not take thought and say something. So he said something to him so that his thinking would be affected. Amen. So that his believing would be affected. Right? We're looking at the Word of God here. And then let's go over to Mark chapter 6. You're right there. Just go over to the beginning there. And we can see here the story how Jesus was not received in his own hometown. Right? So he went out, and again, says he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? And even such mighty works are wrought by his hand. Is not this what? The carpenter, the son of Mary," so forth and so on. And they were offended. Their thinking was affected. They wouldn't receive the word of God. So what happened? Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, in his own kin. And he goes on and he said he marveled, and he was only able to do what? Heal a few sick folk. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And what did he end up doing? Going around about the villages doing what? Teaching. And this is why I heard a very well-known minister who's been in ministry probably close to 60 years, does very large crusades in Africa and all around the world. He said, if you find anyone that's highlighting signs and wonders above the word of God, he said, run from it. Because the word of God is first, is before that, right? Signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word of God. So his point was saying here that what did Jesus do? We have his example. When they didn't receive him, when things wouldn't manifest, he what? He went about doing what? Teaching. So that what? Their thinking would change. When their thinking changed, their believing changed, and then they could receive. Because God can't override your will. You have to have a heart to receive and believe. So this is why it's so important that as oft as we do, we get together. And again, we get together for short periods of time. But even in your homes, you know, when you're driving to work or you're about, make sure you have a good faith tape on. Put something that's feeding your spirit, whether it's music, what you're reading, what you're watching, because those things that you hear, those things that you read, those things that you watch are containers of someone's thoughts. And you need to be filtering that. And the more you know God's word, the more he transforms you, you will become uncomfortable with things that maybe you were comfortable with before. You'll start saying, I can't read that anymore. I can't, that's happened to me. I can't watch that anymore. I can't do that anymore. I just can't. Things will become uncomfortable. And that's different for everyone because we're all at different levels of spiritual growth. So you can't say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, hey, that's not your place. That's the Holy Ghost's place to show someone that they need to make a change. Right? We're not the police. We're not here to police people. That's the Holy Ghost's job. We're here to share the word, teach the word, and for each one of us individually, feed upon the word so that we're changed. So we go out and we're a light and love to society that's unloving. Amen. I hope you got a little something. This keep this in mind about your thought life and your thinking. You are an overcomer. I don't care what God says you are. Not what society says, not what your experiences dictate. You are a new person in Christ. You've been changed. And it's our responsibility now to get our thinking changed. And that's going to come about by doing what? Feeding on the Word of God. All the impossibilities, all the injustices, they may be packaged differently, but the devil's not different. He may package it differently from era to era. But don't say, well, you know, these people against me and all this stuff. They may be, but they're not greater than God and His Word. They are not. And the thing that has to change is that we are, if you're in this world, whosoever is born of God overcometh this world according to what? Your faith. So you're an overcomer. You are not subject to the things that go on in this earth because you can overcome. Be not afraid, only believe. And the same thing where sickness and disease and poverty, it's been paid for. We have to now take God's word in so that we can do what? Think like he says we are. He says you are, then I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that we are brand new creatures in Christ. We are something in you. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. I have a sound mind. I don't have a spirit of fear. My mind is not crazy. And I will never lose my mind, but my mind is sound. I have the mind of Christ. And I thank you, Father, that the devil has been defeated in our lives. We've been translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father, that day by day, as we feed upon the word of God, as we meditate upon it, as we act upon it, we thank you, Father, that we are being transformed, transfigured into the very image of God from glory to glory. And we thank you, Father, that as we walk about in our areas of responsibility and areas of influence, we thank you that your presence goes with us. And we thank you that you shine through us and you impact those that come into our presence. And they may feel uncomfortable, but we're not trying to make them uncomfortable. It's the presence of God. And we thank you for it, Father. We're here to love people, embrace people in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is how we're going to impact society and our communities, is by being ourselves changed. So that we just walk about in society. And I mean, how many have experienced in your own personal life somebody saying to you, and you never said anything, you just walk in and say, there's something different about you. What is it about you? Every one of us have. I have a number of occasions. People said, there's something different about you. You just walk into the room. You're just minding your own business. Because it's God's presence, his peace. And it's tangible for some people. Amen.